Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm privileged to welcome a very, very senior corporate professional turned coach, Mr. Pradeep Shroff from India. Pradeep, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Garg. Thank you very much.
Pradeep is now a CEO coach. And in his earlier avatar, he was the former president and MD of PRS Permacell, which was earlier Johnson & Johnson as well. So Pradeep, let's talk coaching. After a successful corporate career, what made you become a coach?
Well, you know, at the PRS Permacell, when I was about to retire, I used to keep thinking, you know, what is it that I can do so I can give it back to what I have? And, you know, all of us have money to give, but I think what is more important is the knowledge.
Correct.
You know, that is the time one of my board members, Mr. R.R. Nair, who is a very well-known HR professional. He used to be the HR director of Unilever. So he told me, Pradeep, why don't you do this coaching program, get certification. And he asked me to get in touch with CFI. I got in touch with them and I just joined the program and I liked the program very much. I realized that, you know, I wish I had done that program even when I was actually running a business. Because the skills that you learn as a coach, if you practice as a leader, you can do wonderful thing in your business career.
True.
Because it really prompted me to reflect on many of the things which I was doing wrong, you know, in my leadership role. I said, this is something I wish I knew it. So then I said, okay, now with the good understanding of the, you know, the psychology of the people, the business experience that I have, I can now really get into a new career of being a CEO coach.
Correct.
And that's how I decided to become a CEO coach. Got myself certified. And then that was about in 2010. So now it's almost 11 years that I'm practicing as a coach.
That's amazing, amazing. And, you know, I know as a coach myself, this is one of the best ways of giving back. So you've really articulated it well. But, you know, Pradeep, when you and I were discussing, a lot of people coach individuals. You Correct. Have started something new, which is team coaching.
Correct.
I'd like to understand what made you start team coaching. And even before that, what is team coaching?
Okay. Let me give you the background about why I start, how I started.
Right. Coaching.
Because I think that's like one of the turning point in my life for a coach. I was, coaching one very senior executive in a large engineering company of Bombay.
Right.
After I finished my coaching with this senior coach, senior executive at this engineering company, he told me, Pradeep, look, you know, you have made a big difference to me. But I do realize that there are a lot of people reporting to me because he had several, vertical heads reporting to me. And I see in them a kind of a silos. They're not talking to each other. And I feel that, you know, I would be more successful if I can get these guys to work as one team. If I can break their silos, because I think they all have a lot of talent and experience and knowledge, but they don't share as much as they ought to share.
Right.
So can you do something for them? You know, I said, but, you know, I can do individual coaching. I said, no, I think we need to bring them as a team, as a one team. I said, that's like you're talking of coaching a group in a team, but I've never done it. You know, my CFI never taught me. He said, no, I have good faith in you. You have a lot of business experience. You have led so many teams. You understand coaching. So I want you to do a team coaching for me. You work out what you can do. You understand my mindset. I want to align them to a common goal. I want them to share their experiences, leverage each other's experiences. Because ultimately, the total sum output of a team should be more than the sum of the individuals.
Correct.
And I'm sure you can do it. So you just go ahead and do it for me. So it was like a request that came from a client. A client was very happy with my work. And he kind of inspired me and motivated me. Look, you can do it. Having accepted the challenge, I realized that where do I go to find what is the right thing to do? So I started reading several books on what makes a team successful. You know, then as I did Google search, I found that actually there are books already available on team coaching, group coaching and whatnot. So I read all the books which I could lay my hands on.
Wow.
And then I said, okay, now if I want to coach this team, I have some framework that I should develop.
Right.
So I developed my own framework for them.
Mm.
And that's how I started coaching. And I'll discuss the framework maybe as we go on later on. Now to answer your second question, what is the team coaching? See, that if I consider individual coaching as like a personal tuition in a simple training program, a group coaching would be coaching group of people to a one cause. Okay, so that means you are coaching a group of people together, not one individual. Whereas team coaching will be coaching a group where all the members are reporting to one boss or they are working to one task.
I see.
There may be, you know, there may be a project team, for example. All of them may be reported to different boss, but they are all working on a one particular project to accomplish the project. So I consider the team coaching is a kind of a niche within the group coaching. In a group coaching, you coach people in a group. So what you really do in an individual coaching, you're trying to work to individual excellence.
Correct.
Trying to help individual optimize his or her skills and optimize his or her potential. So in a group coaching, you would still do that, but instead of paying an individual personal attention, now you're paying in, attention in a group. So you really talk to them a few things in a group. But at the same time, I realized, because I did one group coaching also, I realized that, you know, there are a few personal things which nobody wants to discuss in a group also.
Correct.
You know? So then I my program as I developed for them was that I used to have some sessions as a group and some sessions as individual. So in the group coaching, in the group session, you discuss with them the a common learning. Like say, if you want them to understand their 360 or if you want to understand them any psychometric tool, you extend to them what are the nuances of the psychometric tools and give them some kind of a guideline as to what they can do to read their own profile. But in individual session, you actually help them further polish understanding of the profile.
Okay.
So they understand what exactly I have understood in the group session, how it is more customized for me. If I have some specific questions to ask, they ask me privately.
Very interesting.
So I realized that the plain group coaching, which is like just coaching everybody in a group, is not adequate in a business way. You know, like a group tuition in a for children may be okay because you know you teach maths to everybody, and by and large everybody goes home and does his homework. Here, when somebody wants to ask a personal question which they will never ask in a group, they require a platform for individual discussion. So when you do group coaching in a business situation, you need group session and individual session.
Oh, I see.
Now, team coaching is the more focus among the group coaching because now the whole group is working towards one common goal. So in a way, the group's goal is now more or less clear from the sponsor's agenda. You know, whereas in a group coaching, the individual goal can be still separate based on what individual wants to do.
Very interesting.
That's the difference between group coaching and a team coaching.
Very, very interesting. And since you have, you know, so much experience in team coaching, how did you develop the process for team coaching?
Okay. So I recognize that, you know, every coaching I consider as a customized coaching.
Correct.
Because you can work on a framework, but content inside the framework will have to be customized for everybody. So when I started this first coaching, which I mentioned to you at the request of my client, I continuously updated myself. You know, to begin with, I read several books on team coaching and team working and what makes a team successful.
Right.
And then I said, okay, if I want to use the elements of individual coaching in team coaching, I want to begin by so-called 360. Now, in an individual 360, you go around and you know, meet the peers and get the feedback. Here, I did a different 360. I met each of the team members individually and asked their views about when was this team successful? What is the best thing this team has done? What is the problem with the team has? What do you think is the issue with the team needs to resolve to get the optimal value of the team? So I interviewed each of the team members individually to get their view about team. That means team, say, assume team was my coaching and individuals were giving me feedback for the coaching. You know, so they were giving me feedback as a for the team and not for individual. Now look, this team can do the best if this team can do so-and-so, so-and-so. This team was best in this situation. This team was worst in this situation. This team had, these are the problems. You know, so I got everybody's views about what the team is. So I said, okay, the team coaching will work as if coaching is an entity. So I'm coaching the team. And to make the coach team successful, I am making the individual elements to be participating in the team success.
Mm.
Okay. So that was my very clarity in my mind that I am really look at the team as an individual, as an entity. Like in a business, you look at company as an entity.
Correct.
You know, like you have a private limited company owned by a private person, but a company is owned by several shareholders, but the company is still an entity. So I said, team will be my individuals. I'm looking at team as Mr. Team as the person I'm coaching. And individuals were elements of that, the Mr. to really, you know, like it's like various behavioral patterns shown by various elements of a person.
Hmm.
You know, so how do I make sure that those, each of the element will perform so that the Mr. Team will do the best job?
Hmm.
You know,
very, very interesting.
That is my main understanding about the whole process that I developed on it.
Fascinating. And you know, Pradeep, you had mentioned that team coaching is something where a team is reporting to one boss. So in this particular case, how do you develop a typical agenda for team coaching?
Let me tell you what exactly I did. So because the the my coach whom I had already coached, he had a clarity about what he wants to do.
Mm.
I made him a sponsor. I said, look, you need to be sitting in some of the team coaching sessions.
Mm.
And the agenda from his angle was pretty clear that I want to synergize the talent. Mm. I want to maximize output by taking each other's advantage, because I know there are enough talents available in the company.
Mm.
Because, you know, they are all various verticals. So each one, technically speaking, didn't have much. Like there was somebody expert on automobile, somebody experts on electronics.
Mm.
But ultimately, they were designing an electronics for automobile.
Mm.
You know, so when electronic part is being developed, the other fellow does not talk to the engine part of it.
Mm.
Now, he said, that is not a good idea. You know, let them talk to each other. What is it that he wants engine performance for?
Mm-hmm.
And how electronics can happen? What is the electronics can do so that engine can do something else? You know, so this is how it was very important for them to then look, when we develop, ultimately, if you are going to provide a design for a car,
mm-hmm.
let's make sure that all of us work together. Instead of being master of our area,
mm-hmm.
we also need to work with others.
Mm-hmm.
So coaching agenda was pretty clear that synergize these people.
Mm-hmm.
And my experience is that most of the time, sponsors are reasonably clear about what they want from the team.
Correct.
So I'll tell you another team coaching which I did. The sponsor was very clear that, look, in that company was again a design company.
Mm.
But, you know, they were accepting various projects.
Mm.
Now, in the project, developing a whole project doesn't require civil engineers, electrical engineers, electronics, controls, and several expertise.
Mm.
So each of those engineers would design what is required to complete the project.
Mm.
Now, when project was being tendered, you will get this giant quotation. There are 3,000 crore, 4,000 crore international tender.
Mm.
There are equally great international company competing with you.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to provide design hours which are competitive.
Mm.
Now, if your design hours at the time of quotations are not right, you don't get the tender.
True.
So he said, I'm losing tenders. And when he analyzed, why is he losing tender? Is because compared to another competitor, their man hours quoted were much higher. So he said, I need to really reduce my man hours for each of them twice.
Correct.
So his ultimate agenda was win the tenders.
Mm.
But he knew that that will happen if each of these engineers are able to work together and reduce their engineering hours.
Very interesting. Very interesting. My next question to you on team coaching, and this is a question that would be for, say, a new team. You know, startups get teams from different countries, different companies, etc. How important is culture for team coaching? And how does one build culture for a team?
Yeah, I see. I think culture is important for every team, whether it is newly formed or old formed.
Mm.
Existing companies have a culture and new entrants to the team will have to align to the culture.
Right.
So the culture is extremely important for success of any company.
Mm.
Okay. Now, in case of a new company, the culture will really start with what entrepreneur's vision is. What does, you know, the main person who really promoted the idea behind the company will have to really develop the culture.
Mm.
My experience is most of this new entrepreneur kind of company would develop a culture where each one want to excel.
Mm.
You know, they're trying to make everybody what I remember Tom Peters used to call skunk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, each one, he wants to be a skunk.
Correct.
Skunk means they are brilliant in their work.
Mm.
You know, and that's what used to happen to some of those Bill Gates of this world who were super genius in their work, but they were not working as a team.
Mm.
And that's what sometimes is not very healthy. So I think what we need to do with them is really ask them to start knowing each other. You know, that means create platforms for enjoying each other's work.
Correct.
But all these guys, they only focus on their work. They hardly meet socially, or they don't want to meet socially. They're so focused on what they want to do. So what I started with them is that I actually first did, after talking to this sponsor, we decided what are the skills required to achieve a particular culture. What does each one, now what is it that will make this person successful as a partner, as a team?
Right.
They said, well, he needs to be good at so-and-so, he needs to be good at so-and-so. So we identified few sets of behaviors which he wants people to exhibit. Then I did my modified 360 by asking each one, who is best for this behavior? Who is a good listener? You know, who responds very nicely? Who responds positively? You know, who is always, you know, nice to talk to?
Correct.
So you talk to, suppose, 8 people in a team, and each one, I ask them to make a force ranking. So he said, look, if I am assessing the register of 7 people, I am supposed to say for listening, that A is 1, B is something, C is something, and the force ranking, so I can't repeat the number, but I need to give force ranking. So I took the force ranking average of everybody and put that on the slide in the one of the sessions to the team and told them, look, these are the center of excellence. You know, idea is not who is the best, but these are the center of excellence. Now, if this is what we all agreed that we need to work on, each one who needs that will go back and learn from the other person. So I kind of made each one to be buddy of each other on a particular skill. Now, so if somebody was good at listening, somebody was good at responding, and they were helping each other for each other's skills. Now, when they're helping it, I said, you have to go and ask for a help.
Correct.
Now, when you ask for help, at the end, what do? You must give a gratitude. Okay. So I told each one that you have to now give a gratitude to other person. Thank you very much for helping me. And record number of gratitudes given to whom. So in the next session, when people come, each one will make a presentation that in the last month, I gave 2 gratitudes to 1, I gave 5 gratitudes to 3, I gave to so-and-so, so-and-so, and total number of gratitudes given. Given, not received. Huh?
Wonderful. Yeah.
Now, what happens is, by using gratitude as a way to bind them, now you can see how it has become a good adhesive. As soon as now, if I come in a team meeting and I say that, look, last month I gave 15 gratitude, but I gave 10 to 1 and 5 to number 2 and rest I did not give. Somebody else will come back and say, I gave 10, but I gave 2 to 2 all. So each one will present and I'll make a matrix about the gratitude given. Now the peer pressure starts. Nobody wants to be a bad guy. So the guy who has not given anybody, in my private talk session, he'll come back and say, what are the reasons why he does not talk? So we help you overcome the fear. We will give reason why he's not able to do it. Give him reasons why he should do it. So next month, he's supposed to spread and give it to all. And then next goal is to give maximum number, the highest number. So workable goal, I told all of them, you should give 1 gratitude, 1 per day to anybody. But anybody from the team. The advantage is now you can't bluff because somebody is sitting there. So if I say I give gratitude to Mr. A and Mr. A does not smile, then I know there is something fudge.
Very well said.
So
by
using a peer pressure, using gratitude as a way, bond, as an adhesive, I got all of them to start talking to each other, learn from each other, and make up for what was missing in their behavior.
Fascinating. Pradeep, I have time for 2 more questions. So my next question to you is, what are the challenges of team coaching as compared to individual coaching?
Well, see, individual coaching, what happens is you are focusing on one person. So it is that much more easier on your own brain and on your own concentration.
True.
Now, when you're sitting in a team, you're looking at the behavior of 8 people, 10 people. And you need to continuously focus on each one of them. Because in the individual session, you're going to give them feedback on what happened in the team coaching, which was right and what was not right.
Correct.
Because you want to correct those things or really work on those things which were not proper for team coaching. So one thing is tremendous stress on you as a coach to observe each one of them and really observe them carefully. That's one part. Number 2, typically in team coaching, in the beginning, there are always few people who have agenda different than the overall team agenda. You know, somebody wants to be either smarter or somebody who has his own way of doing things. So there will be always people who will tend to obstruct the meeting. You know, as you discuss something team, somebody will dominate it. Somebody will remain quiet and stay away from the team discussion. So during the team coaching, you have to be mindful who is contributing to the teamwork,
right,
and make sure there is an equal opportunity for everybody.
Very
so if somebody is trying to dominate it, you need to very tactfully keep him aside without insulting him, because in a team, you can't make anybody feel guilty.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make everybody happy. Everybody feels great. But at the same time, everybody should recognize responsibility, allowing others to talk. So somebody who is talking too much, you need to be very tactfully put him in his, and I think that's a fantastic idea.
Mm.
You know, I would like to park it, and then I go on a whiteboard and write down, Mr. XYZ, fantastic idea, and let's move forward and I'll come back.
Very interesting.
So the person feels I am being heard.
Mm.
The person who is quiet, I will say, look, you know, we have missed your skill. You know, last week you were telling me so and so, how about sharing that here?
Mm.
And encourage him to talk something which I know he's good at it, and then get him to really participate in the meeting. So that's another challenge for a team coaching, to really make sure everybody is actively participating in team coaching.
Fascinating.
Third,
sorry, go ahead.
Third is, you know, each team comes out with their own business issue. And as a coach, you may not really have domain knowledge. Okay. So you need to make up for that. And best way I do it, that whenever we are discussing the specifics, I ask the sponsor to come and sit through.
Okay.
Now, the advantage here is that if anybody is bluffing and if anybody is talking about, yeah, I have done so-and-so thing, the boss will be a neutralizer, you know, and it will make me hence ensure that the discussion is focused around the business,
right,
in the framework that I have developed. So I tend to make boss as my partner, as my fellow coach or faculty, to make sure that the output is what they want.
Very interesting. Very interesting. My last question to you, Pradeep, and this is about all the young people who are joining teams now. The millennials have been at work between 10 to 14, 15 years. The Gen Zs have started coming into the workforce. All of them joining different teams, but with a very different mindset. What would you, from a coaching perspective, say, How do teams prepare themselves to welcome these young individuals?
Very interesting question. I think, first of all, the organization, you know, as a whole, when they want to welcome these youngsters, they need to really be willing to understand their aspirations.
Correct.
Their ambitions.
Mm.
Because there is always a feeling about so-called generation gap. And there is always a feeling that, look, you know, we were more disciplined and these kids are not disciplined.
Correct.
But my experience is very different.
Mm.
They may or may not be disciplined, but their principles are very clear.
Correct.
They are as honest and sincere as we were. You know, so there is, just because maybe they like to enjoy. And in my days, you know, when I was in that stage, maybe personal enjoyment was not so important as focusing the task.
Correct.
But when it comes to the job, they are as hardworking as we were. They're as sincere as this year.
Absolutely.
So we need to really understand them and provide a support, encouragement them. Say, look, you continue doing what you're good at. You continue enjoying it. We are comfortable with both of them. So slowly and steadily, as they mature and as they get more and more responsibility, they will automatically balance that work style. And I'm reasonably sure when they reach our age, they'll perhaps think that we are more disciplined than their youngsters who are joining them.
Absolutely.
So it's a journey which all of us go through.
Very interesting.
You know, I'm sure that when we were young, our seniors must have thought we were very, you know, arrogant, or we were very humanistic. But with time, people do adjust, and that is very important, that both the sides must learn to each other's, with each other's strength, and learn each other's expectations and aspirations.
Fascinating. Pradeep, on that note, we've now run out of time. Thank you so much. It has been such a privilege speaking to you. Thank you for talking so extensively and deeply on an area that you specialize in, which is team coaching. And thank you for such an amazing perspective you've given to the world of coaching. Thank you again and good luck.
Ashish, thank you very much for really, you know, inviting me to your podcast. And I hope your audience and people who listen to this audience will be very happy to get some message out of this. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you again. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website www.tbcy.in to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.